World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, what's that line from the movie Network? What is that line? I remember. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Remember that? That's the mood I woke up in today. Welcome to Coach Dave. I'm Coach Dave. Welcome to me, and I'm live, and this is Coach Dave Live. For you new viewers, listen, just buckle in, put on a hard hat, and you'll be feeling okay at the end of this thing. I want to tell you something. If you don't have a helmet on and you don't have a seatbelt on, you're probably going to get shaken to the point you may not want to be part of it. So a lot of crazy stuff going on, as there is every day. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And as hard as it may be for you to realize and understand, what's going on in the heavenly realm is playing out on the natural realm. This whole Judge Roy Moore stuff, everything. We got Jake McCauley at the Institute on the Constitution here with us to give us a little bit of added info. But I got a couple things I got to talk to y'all about here. Let's get up and rolling here, okay? Number one, hey Jared, I'm sorry if I'm blindsiding you here. I was a little late getting down here, folks. Been dealing with crazy internet issues all morning. I don't know why it's so hard. What is with the internet? Who is in charge of the internet that this kind of stuff goes on? I guess it's because they're listening to us all the time, Mark. That's probably what's going on. Hey, listen, April 2021, I think I can announce it now. April 2021, just mark it down on your calendar. We'll get more information to you. We're having a big event in Akron, Ohio called Occupy Until He Returns Conference. L.A. Marzulli's in, Russ Dizdar's in, Paul Bagley's in, Mike Spalding's in, probably the Hagman boys are in, John Robertson, maybe some more. The 20th, 21st, and 22nd of April, mark it on your calendar. We'll get more information to you as it goes. But it's going to be a great event. And we're going to do what nobody else does, or what I don't think any other of these conferences do. Our focus is action. We have Russ Dizdar speak and give us an action plan. LA speak and give us an action plan. That's what I think is missing in all the stuff that's going on. Number two, Jared, throw those t-shirts up there because we are now officially up and running. We had a few quirks with our website that we couldn't, whatever reason, doesn't matter. When we first launched it, people went on, they tried to buy a shirt. We couldn't do it. We can now. Orders are coming in. The t-shirt says, excuse me, pardon me. Protect the flock with a Glock. So on the front of it, on the back, it says, be prepared, the devil is coming to church. So these are available for a donation on our website, officially launched now. And we've got all of our fulfillment in place. And also now we're officially ready to roll with it. Okay. Issue number three. Is there an issue number three? I'm going to be in Texas on Thursday. Leaving Thursday. Got a big event down at Chad's down in Texas. Chad, anything you want to say about that? Are you with us this morning?
Sir, I'm here. And I'm 7 days early.
You are, man.
What? 7 days early. All right.
There you go. There you go, brother. There you go. Okay, inside joke, folks.
Okay. Well, one thing I would like everybody also that's driving, please remember to bring a chair, please. We might not need it, but it's better to have it, not need it, than need it, not have it. And
right.
Remember your Bibles and all that, of course. We're going to be doing spiritual warfare. I just didn't want to talk about guns and all that other stuff. We're doing very little of that compared to the spiritual warfare, the prayer.
That's right, brother.
And the fellowship that we're doing. The meat and potatoes of it, and the prepping and the shooting stuff. That's all just gravy. So just come prepared, ready for some spiritual warfare.
All right, Chad. Looking forward to that. So that's down in Texas this weekend. Just reading what Sarge just put up here. So folks, listen, I'm going to dig into some stuff. We got an expert. Well, I call him an expert. Jake McCauley, Institute on Constitution. Jared, go and throw up his website there real quick while I talk a little bit here. Hey Joe, you get ready. We're going to read Psalm 91 today. I think it's appropriate. Institute on the Constitution. Jake McCauley's with us. We're going to talk about some constitutional issues here. Look at that little mug on him. He's too young to be out there telling us what's going on. Pastor David Whitney is associated with Michael Perutka, is the founder of the Institute on the Constitution, the American View. So sit tight there, Jake, sitting there beside JR. That's punishment enough for him right there. Let's pull up Psalm 91 real quick. Joe, get those pipes ready. Folks, Judge Moore, last night, I saw the media today, they're making fun of it, in fact, it's head of the judge report. Judge Moore said it's a spiritual battle. And they put that on the Drudge Report. Actually, they put it on the Drudge Report so he'll look like a fool. See, spiritual battle. Now, Judge Moore speaking the language we all understand, don't we? We all understand that it's a spiritual battle. The average person doesn't get it. The Drudge Report certainly doesn't get it. Sean Hannity doesn't get it. None of them. They don't get it. They don't get it. And people are beginning to leave Judge Moore's pressures being put on. Can you imagine the pressure Sean Hannity's under, who he's hearing from? Senators, and can you imagine? So he was a little bit iffy last night. 24 hours, Judge, if you don't answer these charges in 24 hours, and so Sean Hannity's throwing him under the bus. And Judge Moore says it's a spiritual battle, and we all agree it's a spiritual battle. So we'll show you right here in Psalm 91, okay? And, hey, Joseph, I want you to read this psalm. Excuse me, froggy today. I want you to read this, folks, and I'm just going to be quiet, and I'm going to let Joe read this. And I want us to all, in the spirit of agreement, pray this as a prayer over Judge Roy Moore today, okay? Pray this as a prayer. He has named it for what it was. We know that we're not ignorant of his devices. And I just want to start out as we get rolling this show. Joe, let's read Psalm 91. Just, folks, just be in an attitude of prayer, all of us that are listening right now. As our friend Joe reads this psalm over Judge Roy Moore. Go ahead, Joe.
From Psalms chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because...
Amen!
Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee.
Amen.
Neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their lands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Amen. Let that be upon Judge Roy Moore today. Folks, listen, as Larry would tell us, when we pray the Lord's will be done. Now, understand this. This is going to be crazy coming out of my mouth. It could be possible that the Lord's will would be for the deep state to win this victory. It could be the Lord's will. It doesn't seem like it would make sense to us. And we see it as a spiritual attack. And I'm standing strong on behalf of Judge Roy Moore. But folks, don't ever lose sight of the fact that when I'm running a play in football, I run one play to set up another play. And even though the people in the stands can't figure out why that play didn't work, they don't understand the strategy. They don't understand what's going on. So we understand that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And so as my wife said to me today, honey, maybe you can text me that, even the devil trembles. See, the devil trembles at the word and at the thought of God. The devil trembles. Why don't Christians tremble? Why don't we tremble at the mention of his name? We don't tremble. The devil does. And always remember this. Know this. The Judge Roy Moore knows he can trust the Lord. But here's what's more important. The Lord knows he can trust Judge Roy Moore. And what's going on, what might be happening to Judge Roy Moore is happening to Judge Roy Moore because the Lord knows he can trust him, and he's allowing it to happen to Judge Roy Moore to see what the response of others might be. Do you understand it? Don't miss the bigger picture. So I saw Judge Moore last night I saw the strain on his face. I saw it. And he's smart enough to come out today, headlines on the Drudge Report, spiritual war. Hey, guys, it's a spiritual war. If the church, if the stinking church would wake up. See, the stinking church, the Christians, they want to believe the same media that gave, that's bearing all the Hillary bilge, that gave us all that mess during the last election, all those Russian dossiers, Hillary was going to win, Trump didn't have a chance to win. That same media is feeding us this stuff. And Christians are eating it. They're buying it. I think. Maybe not. So I think what's going on in the American political world in Alabama today says a lot more about us than it does about Judge Roy Moore. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's an indictment of us. Not an indictment of them. It's an indictment of us. That we would believe this crap. Yeah, Larry.
Coach, here's one of those teachable moments that happens every now and then. You just said a while ago that God may be, his will might be that the deep state get the victory in this one and Judge Roy Moore get it, what might appear to us to be a defeat because God may be waiting to see what the response of others is. Mm-hmm. Teachable moment. God does not tempt us to find out what we will do. He tempts us or allows us to be tempted so we will find out where we stand and what we do. And it's the same thing with this Judge Roy Moore thing. God knows what people's response is going to be, but he may want some of those folks to understand what their response is, how inadequate it was, or whatever the situation might be. But God knows how each and every person is going to respond to this situation. And it may be that he wants some people to understand where they stand so they can decision from that point on.
Hey, Larry, maybe he's trying to help people grow a pair. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, I'm going to mix in. I'm going to mix in Jake McCauley with some stuff I want to show you today. Let me bring Jake in here right now. Jake is lack of a better word, a traveling evangelist. He's an evangelist of truth. He's an evangelist of the U.S. Constitution. Travels around, speaks to groups, trying to wake them up to what the Constitution really says. He happens to be in Ohio, Columbus, today. Stayed with J.R. last night. Let's say a prayer for Jake for that. Stayed with J.R. at the house last night, and he's joining us. Hey, Jake, just come in here real quick and just fill us in a little bit on who you are, what you do, and then we're gonna blend you in and out of what's going on here. Welcome aboard, Jake McCauley.
Thank you very much, Coach Dave Dobemeyer. I remember the first presentation I saw of you back in my 20s. So I'm not in my 20s anymore, but I'd like to think that I'm still young. I run the Institute on the Constitution, which is an outreach to make sure that America remembers what it means to be American. And we speak about the biblical underpinnings of our founding documents. And that is our main mission, is to show God's fingerprint in America and to help individuals understand that from every class, from youth on up to pastors to civic leaders and so on and so forth. There is a God. Our rights come from him. And the purpose of civil government is to secure God-given rights. That's it.
That's the American view, huh, Jake?
That's right. We're singing the American.
What do you do, Jake? Do you travel around, speak to civic groups, to high schools? What do you do?
There's a number of things that we do at Institute on the Constitution, but the first and primary emphasis that we have is we want to teach Americans how to think American. I just said the American view. That's found in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal, so there is a God. They're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our rights come from our creator, God. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So that statement right there is quintessentially what it is to be American. I do travel a great deal.
Jake, I gotta stop you just a second, because the Holy Spirit just screamed in my head. Boy, I can repeat that from memory, Jake, and I've done it untold numbers of times, and the Holy Spirit just screamed at me. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, receiving their just power. Mm-hmm. What's a just power, folks? Have you ever thought about that? Does the government have all power, or does the government have just power? Mm-hmm. Hey, Jared, well, Jake's on. I'm sorry, Jake. Hang with me, man. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit gets a hold of me. Hey, Jared, Google just. Look up the definition of just. Deriving their just powers. Isn't that what it says, Jake?
Yep.
Their just powers. Not just their powers, but their just powers from the consent of the governed. Hang on, Jake. The way my mind works, we got to see this. Are you finding it there for me, Jared? Just powers. They're receiving their just powers. Ah, be darned. Huh? Number two, definition of just. Conforming to a standard of correctness. Look at number two, Jake. Look at number two, Jake. Acting or being in conformity with what is morally upright or good. So the just powers, the only powers the government has is the just powers, the morally upright powers under the unction and under control and under the authority of Almighty God. If they do not have just powers, they have no powers. Man, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, I think to further clarify what you're saying, if you look in Romans 13, Paul clarifies it. He says, for rulers are not a terror to good works. First, he calls government his minister. And when I travel to churches, I'll ask the pastor, is what you do more sacred than what the governor of your state does? Many of them say yes. Because they think that winning souls to Jesus is the only purpose that Christians are on earth.
Mm.
And that word is synonymous with the word of minister of the gospel. Diakones, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, is the Greek term. And so as a minister, as a governor, as somebody in a civic office, that is just as holy of a work as a pastor has, as an evangelist has. And after Paul calls government God's minister, he says that he clarifies who these ministers are. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. In other words, that I think that further defines just.
Well, yeah, but that's right, Jake. If the works are evil, they're not just.
That's right. Because it says he's a minister of God to thee for good. And so good means godly, right? Anything that is good is in accordance to God's word. Webster defines it as so. So when a minister, and I ask the question generally to evangelical crowds, if your minister comes up to the pulpit this Sunday and he, at the end of his sermon, he says, I've been embezzling funds from the church, $250,000. I'm in a great deal of trouble right now. I'm getting fines and I'm about to lose my home. And I've had an extramarital affair, and I have another child on the way. Will you please see to it that I get a raise? And everybody chuckles. And I said, has your pastor or whoever that preacher was ceased to be God's minister? And they will say, yes, he would be removed. Church discipline would come into effect and so on. And I say, it's no different with God's ministers in government. They don't hold power over you when they're not doing good. When they're a terror to good works, they hold power. When they're a terror to evil works, that's the purpose.
Just powers. Just powers, right, Jake?
That's right.
Alan Keyes told me this. He said that we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Alan Keyes says there's no right to do wrong. You're endowed by your creator with the right to do right. You're not endowed by your creator with the right to do wrong.
Well, I give a little analogy that first of all, we all agree that we have the freedom to exercise our rights. We don't have the freedom to break the law, because if we break the law, we become an outlaw. We become outside of the law. Now we're persecuted by the law, like in the old country western flicks. If we become an outlaw and we realize we can't do, well, then what is law? I don't have the freedom to break the law. The law, according to our founding fathers, was the law of nature and nature's God. This is common sense and practical. God is the one who gave us our rights. He gave us the right to life. He created law. He said, thou shalt not kill. He gave us the right to property. He created law. He said, thou shalt not steal. He gave us the right to not be perjured, lied about in a court of law. Therefore, he said, thou shalt not bear false witness. He gave children the right to a father and a mother. He said, Amen. Thou shalt not commit adultery to that father or mother. So law is a protective mechanism that God has created. He is the source. Our founders identified that. We all realize we cannot break God's law without suffering the consequence of doing so. If I say that you ought to have the right to fly because gravity is preventing you from that, I need to get rid of gravity. Gravity is very sexist. It doesn't let women fly. It's very homophobic. It doesn't let homosexuals fly. It's very bigoted. It doesn't let Muslims fly. It's very racist. Black people will never fly. So we have a precedent in America that we've all believed in gravity for 240 plus years, but we need to get rid of it because it's clearly horrible. I don't know how we've existed this long. If Congress makes it illegal, they write the bill and pass it. If the president signs it into law and the Supreme Court backs it up, and we get on the top of our houses tomorrow morning, are we going to be able to jump off and fly? Of course not. Nobody with common sense would say so. Why? Because we have broken the laws of nature and nature's God. Amen. We'll fly for 2 seconds, but we'll always suffer the ramifications. And any of our ailments in America have come as a direct result of not following God's law. There was a man last night at the event that said, we need to talk about economics. It'll get people's attention. And I said, respectfully, I don't think it's bad to talk about economics. We have a spiritual disease in America, which Institute on the Constitution goes for. We have abandoned God. We have said that government is God. Government's power is unlimited. Therefore, we worship government, and anything you worship outside of God becomes tyrannical. We look to them for our health, our welfare, and our general goodwill from cradle to grave. And our government is going to be the object of cursing, just like it was in Nebuchadnezzar's time, just like it was in Caesar's time, just like it was in Hitler's time, and just like it is in our current time right now. Man, so fixing our eyes back on God and having men and women like Chief Justice Roy Moore who are willing with courage to stand for God's will is so essential. It's so essential. And I feel that that is our mission. We do it in schools. We have American clubs. We teach our curriculum in public schools. I did say public schools. I'll be speaking at public school in 2 days. Private schools use our curriculum and teach it for a semester because every student needs a civics credit or a U.S. government credit in America to graduate. Now, most of these credits are horrible, and they teach evolutionary law theory, and they've got it all backwards with no founding fathers or original intent. It's diabolical, actually.
Based on nothing. It's based on nothing.
Exactly. And it's antithetical. It's a new mission plan. It's straight out of the communist plank playbook. And so that's why I don't have a great deal of confidence in our public education system. I prefer homeschooling or private schooling because education is an institution of the family. But we do reach the youth. We have Patriot camps that are 5-day, like vacation Bible camps, although they're Patriot camps. And we talk about the foundations of America, how we started. We go through all of our founders. We go through the teachings, the original intent, and then we talk about where we're at today. So we reach 6 to 12-year-olds doing that. We also teach our course of instruction at Institute on the Constitution, theamericanview.com. We have a 12-lecture. Each lecture is 20 minutes long. You watch a video. You take a test. You do a homework assignment. And you do a review. And we have tens of thousands of graduates all throughout the country. We have lost count of the number of federal state, and local government officials that now populate those offices who have become, who have been graduates of our courses. We've been endorsed by Roy Moore. He's probably the person who stands out the most right now on the federal side. Ron Paul also has done so, and a number of other congressmen like Warren Davidson here in Ohio, who just took John Boehner's seat. State officials, we have numerous dozens of those. We speak in state houses. We give presentations. And so my touring around the country just has to do with educating, equipping, and my call to action is take the course and then plow your row. We all can't harvest this exact, you know, this gigantic Michael Perutka, who is my predecessor and the founder of our organization. My predecessor, he's my teacher, says that. Plow your row. Don't get frustrated. I know the guy to the left of you six rows down is just sitting there drinking a beer while his plow goes rusty, and he's doing nothing for his country. I get it. He's watching the ball game because that's more important to him, or playing golf, or buffing his boat out, or having his home. I really get that. Or maybe the guy to the row, you know, six rows to the right, is too interested in screaming about everybody and saying how America's going to hell in a handbasket, but he's not willing to do anything. He just wants to complain. He's not getting anything done. He wants to complain and ridicule and pretend he's some kind of a prophet screaming at everybody about what they should be doing. Don't worry about them. Plow your row. God didn't say, well done, thou good and successful servant. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen. Wow. Michael Perutka, if you're watching, you ought to be proud of this guy. I know you are, man. He pops in every once in a while, Jake. I see his comments online. And God bless you, Michael, for doing this. Listen, I'm going to take a little turn here, Jake, but I'm going to weave all this together. Trust me here, okay?
It's your show. You're the coach.
Yeah, that's right. It's my show. I can do it. Thank you, baby. Hey, listen, Jake, Jared, pull up what I just sent you. It says, let me go back here. Shame on me. Jared, it just says Bundy remarks. Guys, I don't know if you saw this. This is all constitutional in my mind. Pull that up there. You know, Ryan Bundy, and we all know what went on at the Bundy Ranch. We know we're going to find out eventually, if we ever get around to it, the connection to the Russian uranium and all that kind of stuff. And the whole Bundy Ranch thing came about because Harry Reid wanted to sell the uranium. It was a dirty deal. The deal was in the works for the uranium. That's why they wanted guys kicked off the Bundy Ranch. And then they went up into Mount Farrell, up into Oregon. The whole thing went out. But the Bundy, my brain just went dead. Ryan Bundy has been in jail for 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. And I want you to read what Ryan Bundy said yesterday. He's, by the way, he just got in 2 years. He finally got released to a halfway house. He's been in solitary confinement, convicted of no crime, simply charged and not released. Now, we're talking about constitutional stuff here, Jake. Hang with me. So let's read what Jared, you have it up there, but I'm sorry. I'm out of control here this morning. Coach, you're supposed to be the host and be in control. Here it is. Let's pull it up there. Let's read what it says. Ryan Bundy's brilliant comments in court. On November 13th and 14th, this guy attended the Lauren Edward Pierce attended the trial where Bundy's on trial. By the way, guys, I find out that the government has not released all the exculpatory evidence that would be in favor of Bundy that the prosecution's been hiding it. They're not allowed to do it. These guys ought to be free. And so on Tuesday morning, federal prosecutor Myrie asked for a continuance based on the government request that they have more time to review some discovery involving email. Yeah, they found out they were cheating on him. Judge Navarro asked the defense for their response to the government's request. She pulled each defense attorney. And when she came to Ryan Bundy representing himself, Ryan stood up and said, Your Honor, I think it's ludicrous that defendants who have pled guilty through a plea deal are rewarded with freedom from pretrial detention. But if a defendant maintains their innocence, they're punished with prison prior to any conviction. It is upside down. We are not presumed innocent if we have to spend time in prison without any conviction. I oppose any continuance, and I agree with other attorneys that the remedy is a mistrial. Then this guy goes on to say, no other attorney dared to bring up the upside-down nature of the court's position. See, they're agents of the court, right? If a defendant could no longer stand the horrors of pretrial prison, they were rewarded with pretrial release by accepting a plea deal. Well, those who knew they were innocent rejected the plea deal had to suffer the agony of prison. He's been in jail for 2 years. Now he's in a halfway house, and he said, let me go. 2 years. How does he get his life back? Okay, hang on with me. Jared, let's go back. And now I want to play just a four-minute clip. Jared, go to the stuff thing that says stuff, and it says Ryan Bundy. And I just want you to play the first 4 minutes. This is a video taken yesterday of Ryan Bundy for the first time in 2 years. In 2 years. Not convicted of anything at all. First time in 2 years getting to step outside of jail. Go ahead and play this. It's 4 minutes long. Jake, I'm going to get your comments here in a second. Bear with me, brother.
Many of you have heard of Ryan Bundy, the Nevada rancher and son of Bunkerville's Cliven Bundy. Yesterday, Ryan had been released from jail in advance of the Bunkerville standoff trial, which began today. After a full day of back-and-forth debating by attorneys, U.S. District Judge Gloria Navarro decided to grant him a release to a halfway house, something she had previously not been willing to permit. Ryan has to wear a GPS monitoring device, but at least he is being allowed to have physical contact with his family for the first time in nearly 2 years. What is shocking is that Ryan has not been found guilty of committing a single crime. He has been denied his Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial. That's a right guaranteed to each of us under the U.S. Constitution if we're accused of a crime. Sitting in jail for 2 years without having been found guilty of any crime is hardly a speedy trial, especially when Ryan has been denied the opportunity to post bail. Ryan is on trial with his father Cliven and his brother Ammon over the 2014 incident when hundreds of law-abiding U.S. citizens stood up to the heavily armed, jackbooted thugs from the Bureau of Land Management who were in Nevada to steal the Bundy family's cattle. I'm going to play a clip from a video by John Lamb of Ryan's release. And after that clip, I'll include a video that I made last year where I read a letter that Ryan sent to me from jail. He, Ammon, and Cliven still have the trial to go through, and the U.S. government is putting the full weight of their power and resources behind the effort to make an example of these men. Our government doesn't like it when citizens stand up to the bureaucrats who abuse us. So they're doing their very best to abuse, to humiliate, to cage these men, to send a message to the rest of us that resistance against the federal government is futile, so don't even try it. But the Bundys have stood strong.
Hold it a second, Jared. Guys, are you connecting Bundy more resistance to the federal beast? Bundy, Judge Roy Moore? Go ahead, Jared.
And they continue to have my full support. Here are those video clips.
Still a burden come off me. I know that I'm not free yet. I still have a painful monitor and a whole bunch of rules. But I did. I felt a big burden come off me as soon as she said, you know, I'm going home. But I also realized that I've still got a big burden because our freedoms aren't yet won. I'm still not free myself. My brothers are still not free. And this country is still not free. I realize there's lots of work to be done. And now I can't whine and use the excuse anymore that I don't have computer time. So so now I've really put myself in the pickle.
We're all in the pickle with you, Brian.
Yep. I'll keep working hard. And I've learned a lot. You know, I've said it, that it's incarceration. I hate it every day. Every day I hate it. And yet I'm very thankful for it because I've grown so much. I've grown closer to my Father in Heaven. And I've learned a lot about the law. I've learned a lot about people who are incarcerated. And most of them are not what you think. I see the atrocities of the government upon many, many people in there. And I'm appalled by it. I cannot rest. We've got to change the system. We've got to change things to where people can be free. Our constitutional rights are not being adhered to. The right to speedy trial, the right to fair trial, the right to bail. I mean, I can go right down through the list and constitutional rights, and there are so many of them being violated.
Okay, stop there. Stop there. I just added another one. Ken Hovind, Judge Moore, the Bundys, LaVoie Finicum. Anybody, listen, anybody who pushes back against the God of government is in danger of their liberty being taken from them. Jump in here, Jake. What do you think?
Well, I gather a couple things from this situation. And first of all, I'd just like to read the Sixth Amendment, because I think that's the amendment that is most prevalent to our conversation here. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. Look, I'm a father. I have four kids. I'm just looking at this gentleman's wife holding his arm, so grateful that she gets to actually touch her husband again.
After 2 years, Jake. After 2 years.
So when our constitutional rights are denied us, and I believe they have been in this case, 100%, it reciprocates into our family, which then affects our children, which then affects our culture. And I think that if any of us could consider our own families being losing a head of household, losing a father, and then having the disgusting, abominable media say the most horrible and atrocious things about that father that you love, that's been your protector, that's been your provider, there's a reciprocal effect, and it's horrible. But the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. That should have been speedy. 2 years is not speedy. We can all agree on that. And if it's not going to be speedy, by the way, it continues, by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law. And to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, I believe that Bundy is still, well, and I could stand corrected here, he's probably still confused on what in the heck they're trying to get to stick against him. How do you prepare a defense when you don't know what you're being accused of?
That's right, and especially with the Bureau of Land Management, which really isn't even a government agency.
Right. It's an unconstitutional agency, 100%. To be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Unfortunately, what we see now is the justice system has been used, and I've sat on jury duty, and I've done it recently. The justice system is used now to just wear and grind people down. And there's so much money being made in it. Now, that does not mean there's not sincere, well-intended people in the system trying to make it good. No different than a public education system trying to make it good. But there's no good way to do a wrong thing. And until we get back onto constitutional law, and until our courts adhere to that, or common law principles, which incorporate into our Constitution the Seventh Amendment, we're going to face persecution. Now, I want to bring a point out of this because we are a ministry. And I believe that God is our hope. And outside of God, the Constitution will not save us. Constitutional rights are merely on a piece of paper. They only identify rights God has given, and those rights must be asserted by God's people. And if they're not asserted by God's people, I do feel really poorly and badly for people who try to do this without God. In the Old Testament, Peter was confronted. The Jews were confronted. They were asserting certain rights, the right to everlasting and eternal life through Jesus Christ their Lord. That ticked an entire system that had existed for thousands of years. The Pharisees then persecuted and threw them into jail. Unfortunately, when you go through the looking glass and we get into Alice in Wonderland's world, we don't even know what the heck are we in trouble for. What are the rules? Well, we'll tell you what the rules are when the time comes for us to tell you what the rules are, and we'll define the terms. And this is an experience of this. Now, this persecution, I'm going to quote a man. He said, when a people get caught up with that which is right and they're willing to be persecuted for it, they're willing to suffer for it, there's no stopping point short of victory.
Amen.
Unfortunately, with skin in the game like this, and to take this bold of a stance as Mr. Bundy has, and I admire that courage, he's been persecuted. That persecution becomes redemptive when it's done for the right purposes. Mm-hmm. When we get persecuted for righteousness' sake, it's redemptive. In the Declaration of Independence. In the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers practiced a concept called interposition. If you all remember where the source of interposition comes from, it comes from the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings," that identifies, the hymn does. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to ransom me from danger interposed his precious blood. He stood between us and the wrath of God. Veterans are to stand between us and the evil that would seek to take our life, liberty, and property. And people like Clive and Bundy are just interposing right now. They're suffering as a result of it, which releases a redemptive power, which then causes righteousness in God's hand to come work and vindicate.
I've got a question for Roger. Roger, have you ever heard of someone who hasn't had a trial and been convicted being sentenced to a halfway house?
He's here. He's on. I don't know if he's on. I don't know if he's listening or not.
I've never heard of someone not convicted of a crime to be convicted or sentenced to a halfway house. That's wrong right there.
Yeah, but as Jake just spelled out for us, they determine the rules up to the last minute. Well, I have the experience, Jake. You know, we worked very hard to get Ken Hovind out of jail. They were changing the rules up to the last minute, just changing them however they wanted to, not even being able to, you know, brother, listen, when there's a set of rules, those rules apply to both teams, right? And we don't see that going on in our legal system, which is one of the things one of the points that you're trying to bring out. But see, again, as I said earlier, the Lord's ambidextrous. The Lord is ambidextrous. And he is taking what's happening with the Bundys to do something that we don't even see is going on yet, folks. I'm just you get that. That's certainly what Ryan Bundy has to tell himself every day. Lord, this must be for the greater good. I see no good in this other than personal virtue and standing for what's right. Lord, I see no good in this. And Lord, I've been in jail 2 years. My family being destroyed while they're holding me in here. Lord, I see no good in this. But the promise is Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Not all things are good, but all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So sometimes, I hate to say this, there has to be a sacrifice that the Lord can use. We don't like to hear that. We want Judge Moore to win. We want Ryan Bundy out of jail. We want Hillary Clinton thrown in jail. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that the Lord is behind the scenes manipulating and even right now prodding people. Hey, Jake, hold your ears. Prodding people to get off their ass.
I cannot think of a better example of Ryan Bundy praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray for God's will to be done and him to be willing to accept whatever comes down the pipe and gets thrown at him. He is willing to sit there and take it all because he is confident that God is going to answer his prayer, that God's will be done.
Larry, I remember a guy who's now dead, who was a friend of mine, whose life really got screwed up in Vietnam. Those guys are my generation. We know what Vietnam did to many, many men. We know what it did. And he told me, he said, you know, in Vietnam, he said, the frustrating thing in Vietnam was, he said, we would charge a hill. We would fight and fight and men would die and people would be blown to bits to capture a hill. And we would capture the hill and we'd get up there and we'd be all excited. And then the next day we would abandon the hill. And nobody could, we would look back and say, well, what was that about? What was that about? He said they got to the point where they said, when they'd watch their buddies die and all that stuff, I said, hey, listen, dude, don't mean nothing. You don't mean nothing. And that became their attitude of survival over there because there was no rhyme or reason to what was going on. And nobody could understand the sacrifices they were making. And here we are 40 years removed from the Vietnam War. And we still don't know why. What was that all about? We still don't know, see. So the Lord is working and manipulating people to wake up and stand up and push back and do something. Now, I have to show this. I have to show this real quick. This all piggybacks in my mind. You guys think what you want. I think this is a powerful show so far, as I'm right here in the middle of it. All right. I want you to watch this. Hey, Jared, pull up the first thing it says, forgery. Some of you maybe have seen this, maybe some of you haven't. Jared, this is the Still report. It started at about the 1 minute mark because he always does a little commercial at the beginning of it. I understand he's trying to pay for what he's doing. But I want you to watch this latest accusation that comes out, that he signed this lady's yearbook, and that's what Hannity and those guys are saying. Oh no, that's the final straw. Oh no, he signed this. Well, okay, let's watch this from the Still report yesterday. Same thing. I'm speaking to Christians today. What's going on with, listen to me, what's going on with Judge Roy Moore ain't about him, it's about you. It's not about him, it's about you. Are you going to wake up and stand up and speak up? Are you going to? It's about you, it's not about Judge Moore. We read that Psalm 91. He's going to be okay on this. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
That's why there has been this rash of sex exposés. We didn't know if the Roy Moore accusers were part of that outing for some reason, so we waited. Now these Roy Moore accusations smell more and more like a MOP, Ministry of Propaganda, fiction. Here's the evidence. According to a blog author whose name I probably shouldn't mention out loud, let's just call him a military historian who is following these events closely, the Defend Judge Roy Moore group pretty much collapsed yesterday afternoon when at 2:25 p.m. a lady named Beverly Young Nelson, aged 56, held a press conference in New York with embattled attorney Gloria Allred, alleging Judge Roy Moore sexually harassed her when she was 16 years old. As proof, she showed a copy of her high school annual with a purported inscription signed by Roy Moore, D.A. Even Judge Jeanine went running for the hills after that. Tonight, Hannity gave Judge Moore 24 hours to fully explain or drop out. But hold on there. This morning's light has called this revelation into serious question. Problem number one. The inscription reads, "To a sweeter, more beautiful girl, I could not say Merry Christmas." Signed, Roy Moore, D.A. Do you remember your high school annual days? Since when did one come out before Christmas? They came out usually just a month or two before the end of the school year, like April or May. Problem number two, Roy Moore was never a D.A. He was an assistant D.A. Oops. But it gets worse. Problem number three.
Guys, I don't know if you can see this or how clearly you can see this. He's drawn that line down there to show you that the right part, Moore D.A., 12, 22, 77, Old Hickory House, has been added and, in fact, is in different ink. Go ahead, Jared.
Could it be that someone at CNN retouched part of the top right? So it looks like someone named Roy did write the part on the left, but from Moore on is written in blue ink, not black ink. Duh. Problem number four. The Old Hickory House restaurant wasn't open in 1977. It didn't open in Gladstown, Alabama until 2001. Here is the official MATA page for the restaurant. Problem number five. The actual name of it was Old Hickory House. No E on the end of old. Problem number six. Note the switch from cursive to print. Also, the blue ink cursive is not nearly as flowing as the black ink cursive.
Freeze it, Jared. He didn't mention this. I want to ask if you were writing this, okay? It says Christmas 1977. You see that? How many people would write Christmas 1977 and then redate it at the bottom? And then I want you to also notice, look at the sevens. Look how the sevens are made on the left, and look how the sevens are made on the right. You see that? You see how they're separate? And can you explain to me how everything is in cursive except Old Hickory House? Is not in cursive? Go ahead.
Number 7, signature is a forgery. Compare Chief Justice Roy Moore's actual signature at the bottom left with the forgery. Look at how he makes his R and his Y. And 7 is also different in the above 1977 from the below 122277. Also, the Old Hickory House was written by another person, writing at a slightly different angle. But this story is moving fast. This morning, Alabama truck driver Daryl Nelson.
This is the accuser's stepson comes out and says, she's lying. That doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter. Say, Coach, what's your point? It isn't about Judge Moore. It's about us. And whether or not we are going to be propagandized. Now, guys, do not miss this. I shared this 3 days ago or 4 days ago. Some days ago, I shared this. What was the rules with radical number 4? Any of our students out there, can you tell us what rule for radical number 4 was? I'm going to listen to see how our students are doing today.
Was that make the opposition live up to their own standards?
There you go, brother. There you go. And didn't I say that they were outing all of their perverts so when they floated this thing on Judge Moore, they could say, see, we outed ours. We outed ours. Moore's got to go. Moore's got to go. Guys, this ought to tell you something. How deeply they fear Judge Moore getting in there because you know why? He's now going to be privy to evidence involving our government that he was never privy to before, and he ain't going to wink and nod at it. That's my take on it. What do you think, Jake? You know Judge Moore.
I do. And everything that I see on the press now is the antithesis of the man that I know and that I love. And I guess, these kind of things that come out, I think it's very helpful because you're right. It is a gauge of, I think, Americans. And there's times where I have to gauge my own heart, not on this situation necessarily, but on many situations. And we as Christians need to be doing that. And I just get so encouraged because every time they've attacked Roy Moore, and I don't see this a great deal, honestly. Every time they've attacked Roy Moore, who's a man in a capacity that I think we all are looking at saying, thank you, Jesus, somebody's there, even if there's only one out of these hundreds that are there. They attack him and God comes up out of the other side and brings him up. I loved your analogy. I used to play sports myself. You're making a call, but that call, you've got a call behind that call.
Amen, brother. I'm setting him up.
The next call to the next call. That was very encouraging for me, Coach, and I am very grateful for you making that statement. God is always on the move. I'm reminded of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? That word imagine means to plot. It means to conspire. Why do they imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves. The rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Their godly restraint. They're talking about God and government all the time. Let's get this guy out of here. Let's cut his cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, which means to mock, to ridicule, and to scorn. Then he shall speak unto them with his wrath and vex them. That word literally means terrify them in his sore displeasure.
Wow.
And then it goes on and says, be wise, therefore, now, you kings of the earth. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from your way. King David saw these same men in his time flourishing like a green bay tree. Millions of dollars. Everything they touched turned to gold. Everything David.
Clinton Foundation. Go ahead, Jake.
Right. That's right. And in the end, he said they withered and they perished. I couldn't find them. I sought them out and I couldn't find them. Mm. I'm grateful for that. That encourages my heart because frankly, when I continue to watch this, all I do is get infuriated. And sometimes that can lead to the wrong type of energy as well or the wrong type of spirit. But I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for what you shared today, Coach. About God is more levels deep than we can even pretend to understand.
He is so far ahead of them.
He saw it coming. And God never gets to be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. What are we going to do now?
Wow, man, that was a great fake. Man, they faked me out on that one. No. Right? He's not like it. We got about 5 minutes. Anybody want to jump in here real quickly? Come on, boys.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just keeps resonating with me. You know, judgment begins with the house of God, and we are commanded to test the spirits. And it just shows who's capable of testing the spirits and who is not.
And I mean, how gullible they are, Rich.
And it just brings it right out. You talk about uncovering. I mean, there's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. I think he's revealing the state of the church right now.
I do too, brother. I do too. I do too. And see, it's because the church has fallen under, rules of radical number 4. They're looking at us, oh, we're supposed to be above this. We all people are supposed to be righteous. We can't have it. Hey, Rich, can you think of anything that you did 40 years ago you would want somebody to know something about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, hey, nothing hidden that won't be revealed either. So, hey.
Right. The Christians should understand that, right? They should understand that. Oh, man, good word. Somebody else want to jump in? Quiet crowd today, man. Got a quiet crowd. Or maybe a mic. Come on, Joe.
40 years ago, should I open a confessional? Let's see.
No.
Thank you.
Not if it's under the blood.
What's under the blood?
All right.
A lot of it.
You know, I can relate to Ryan Bundy because thank God I didn't have to spend 2 years, but I spent months in jail being accused of something that never even happened, much less me did it. And I know exactly where he's standing. And the reason I was in jail, I was out. They did let me out on all that. But the reason I was in jail is because I refused to live a lie and go along with one of their pretrial program things that would indicate that I admitted that I was wrong, that I had done this thing. And then I would have been free and clear of the whole thing. And I said, I cannot live that life. My Jesus won't let me do it. So right back in jail I was, and it took months before they finally dropped all charges. So I can sympathize with him. I can know exactly where he's at, but I can't imagine 2 years of that, man.
Well, my wife sent me a quote from Helen Keller this morning. You ready for this? This is you guys never got the Evidence Bible. Evidence Bible was written by, oh my goodness.
Ray Comfort.
Thank you, brother. Ray Comfort. And it has the Bible, but then it has little quotes and stuff. It's really great. Helen Keller said this: science may have found a cure for most evils, but it has found no remedy for the worst of all evils, the apathy of human beings. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Jake, what's next for you, brother? And people listening right now say, man, I really like this young guy. Jake, how can they get a hold of you? And what do you do? What do you require and all that?
Well, the way to get a hold of us is to go to theamericanview.com, the website you were showing earlier. There's a contact button there. You can also call us. We got an 800 number. That's on the website as well. I'm in Ohio this month. I'm going to try to do stuff more locally where I reside for December, because I've been gone from my family more weeks than I've been with them for probably the past.
More than Ryan Bundy, huh? More than Ryan Bundy.
No, not yet. Not yet. Duly noted, though. Thank you, Coach, for putting me in my place. But I would be happy to share with your groups if that is something that you intend on doing. If you want to just take this Constitution course, it was a game changer in my life. I was an evangelical Christian that hadn't even voted until I met Michael Perutka in 2004 when he ran for president. And he shared with me the fingerprints of God. If you're a Christian and you don't vote, man, I would have a hard time explaining that one to the Lord on Judgment Day. Apathy is exactly the reason that we're in the position that we're in today. We have too many things distracting us, too many idols that we have in our lives. We've got to stay involved, otherwise we can't complain. And that's not the motivation we do it. We get involved because God said to get involved. And that's the best way. As a matter of fact, I think when I was at the inauguration this year, when I heard Donald Trump say, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends, for his brothers. And we don't have to lay down our lives necessarily in America. We're not that persecuted yet. But we can stand for truth, and if we don't, We already know the byproduct of that, but I don't think God will tolerate that. I believe in his remnant, and I'm grateful for that, and I put hope in that. And I would love to help you out in your community if you're there. I speak to schools. I speak to young people. I'll be at a school here in about 2 hours in New Albany, Ohio today. And then I'll be traveling over to Xenia, and I'll be speaking at a public school there the following day. And then I do adult meetings usually in the nighttime. So love to help you out. Love to teach you how to reach kids. Love to how do you bring this message to the rest of this country. I believe in it. I believe in the message. I'm grateful for being on the show. Thank you, Coach Dave.
Hey, folks, listen. One thing we know, one thing that is not in the vocabulary of God. Are you ready? Oops. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.